With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey guys, this is Emil Heskey, and you're listening to the guys on Coppen Fracas.
Firmino, Salah coming central. He's played Naby Keita in here, and Liverpool do take their early chance. Stays here between Shaw and Maguire. Alexander Arnold, and it's two. Easy. Diogo Jota. Salah, break for Naby Keita, Salah, he keeps on going, Liverpool keep on scoring, and Mo Salah is the man again, he scores for a 10th appearance in a row, 10 out of 10 for the Egyptian King.
Hello everybody, and as you can tell there are shades on my face because this is a serious, serious Comisionado Oficial. For Coppen Fracas. This is not a drill. Liverpool went to Old Trafford in Manchester and dealt with them and got 5 goals. Très malo. I'm joined here by five great members of the Coppen conglomerate, and we are going to be here to discuss the absolute demolishing, the most embarrassing result in United's history. The pain we have inflicted upon Manchester will be written in Liverpool's history for the rest of time. Boys, show yourselves.
Hello, brothers.
My brothers.
Go.
I'm going to start with the general manager. Krish, my brother Silky Johnson, the biggest hater in the game. How are you?
The player haters ball gives us an opportunity to hate on a diverse array of mark-ass marks, trick-ass tricks, punk bitches, skip-scaps, skanks and scallywags, hoes, heifers, hee-haws and hula hoops. I'm here today on Coppen Fracas to bask not only in the glory of LFC. No. That's not why we're here. We love the blood of our enemies. We love it so much.
Relishing it.
So good. We're here to bask in their pain as well. Because what did we do this weekend? We truly laid a market down. Oh, we truly laid a market down, baby. We let them know who's boss. We went into their own backyard. We slipped by past them. And we were too easy. We were too simple. We're not going to let them off that easy. That's not what we do here. It's Coppen Fracas Live, baby. Julian, take it away, baby.
Yeah, oh man, this win. It's not only a win. It's as you said, it's a marker, one of the biggest markers in our history. And we, from minute one, absolutely piped this supposed super team that has Cristiano Ronaldo, Bort Sancho, Champions League Varane. Absolutely smoked them. Marco, I'm gonna come to you. How are you feeling today? You know, since Sunday, oh, I see you're popping the good stuff. Since Sunday, you know, oh man, we've been on the high.
Hey,
man, the champers, bro. Because drink the blood of our enemies, because this is special. The demolishing, the disgrace, tears. the utter embarrassment that
witnessed. Listening to that Mugga pod yesterday, man was just sipping like this, man.
Has everyone, should we get our glasses up? What's going on? Should we get something?
Listen, I've only got a can.
I've got a Christmas mug, brother. Don't worry about it.
What's that, Josh?
Is that Joe?
That's Joe, man.
Original NWO member. And that brings me to my brother Fahi. This is an NWO takeover as well, as you may know. You know, we won the both titles for our respective brands. My brother Fahi, one of the nastiest in the game. I must say myself.
Yo, what's cracking? I'm here for the vibes, man. I'm here for the vibes. I spoke in the post match, but I need to let it off more. Pause. I need to say more. But
on the main,
we've got five other brothers here. We've got a lot to say. I got a couple man dressed up, or three or four of them. Three man wearing shades like they're in a rave. Don't really understand what's going on. Peter, the drippiest one, hasn't come dressed
to impress. He wasn't told the memo, was he? You weren't prepped for it. I get it. Mush me. We're both the same. We've not done it. But cool. Krish, Julian, Marco are here, shaded up. The blood of our enemies. Time to laugh. Goal by goal breakdown.
Don't get us wrong, my brother. We are not here for vibes or we are here for blood. We smelt blood, we took blood, and now we're wiping it on our chest. The blood of our enemies. It was one of the sweetest vindictive moments of my life, I must say. Mush, my brother.
What's good, my bro?
The streets are just trying to get onto you nowadays, but you know, they were looking for the Mushkus last season, but it's no longer in stock. You've been flying high.
Mate, dusty crates right now. No Mushkus available, brother. We're dishing it out now, man. I cannot believe what we experienced, boys. I wish. I don't own the attire of a certain Silky Johnson, but I feel that way. That's all we need to say. My insides are feeling the same way. Pause. But we move, man. I cannot wait to have this pod. I can't wait to discuss with you, brothers. Let's go, man. And thank you, Mugga, for your pain for an hour and a half as a preview to what we are going to carry on with today.
Oh, mate. Yeah, man. Listen to that pod.
It was a really good pod. Yo, big up the boys and Mugga, man. That was a really enjoyable pod to listen to.
I was definitely going to shout them out because, yeah, man, like, if you're listening to this pod, there is no way you can't not listen to the pain of Mugga from the day before. It was so sweet. Just listening to all that pain in audio, this audio crap, that pain. Mariah's voice just breaking while he was hosting. Stevie, Timmy chatting so much rubbish. His voice was just so much pain. And it just felt good, man. And Peter, I'll come to you last but not least, of course. My brother, how are you feeling? How are you feeling, my brother?
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Listen, Fahi said that, what's called, the I ain't got the drip on, but the drip is on my face. The drip has been on my face for the last three or four days. I've just been smiling. Listen, this smile hasn't left my face. My cheeks are almost hurting, bro. They're calling me the Joker. Like, it's almost planted on my face. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, life is good.
Listen, man, United pain is it can improve anyone's day by at least, I've tweeted this before, by at least 34%. But I must say, it's improved my week by at least 80, because United pain is something that is. You know what I loved about this result? Yeah, and we're gonna, don't worry, guys. This we have to just flog for a bit because we're gonna get to some real footballing points soon. Don't worry. But you know what I love most about this result? It was that even though United fans knew they were going to lose, it's the manner in which they lost, because the way they lost wasn't something they can just look at and be like, well, we lost, and you know,
all they have small hope, no matter what anyone says.
And to be honest, even if they didn't, there was guys like Mario, you know, a lot of United fans, not even just the name Mario, because a lot of them felt like this, where they thought they could just get, you know, maybe a 2-1, a 3-1 loss, so they can just, you know, wallow in their own sorrows and just be like, oh, but Ollie needs to go because this result is not good enough. But this 5-0 trouncing is something that is going to be painful for the rest of their lives. They will remember. It's never happened to us. Boy, it's never happened to us. I've never seen the ops come to Anfield and run riot and give us five. And they're going to have to live with that for the rest of their lives. That we went to Anfield. We went to Old Trafford. That's how it's comfortable for calling Old Trafford Anfield. We went to OT and left with a fight. So now we get into the football. I'm going to actually start with you, Marco, because your boy Keita, man, you got to start. I don't know if it's his first start OT, but he turned up, man. But I'm going to talk about the lineup. Also, the young boy Konate got his first start. What was your thought when you saw the lineup and you saw no Fabinho there as well?
You know what, yeah? I was kind of nervous, and I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know why I was nervous. But United, I was still United. Yeah. They turn up for big games. Big games, you play your big players, and you're supposed to get a result, but supposed to. Certain man just couldn't turn up on the day, and eventually they got slapped 5-0, held a quick panic. But to begin with, I saw the lineup, and I thought, you know what, Mane's out. I'm a bit iffy about that one. Mane's been banging in goals.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Jota started as well. I apologize. I forgot about that.
Jota slapped in goals. Jota's a gunman. We all know this. It's shot a season every day, all day. So I didn't really have too much of an issue there. But Fabinho was starting. So if Fabinho wasn't starting, Hendo was in the six, which is hit and miss in big games. Naby, as much as I love my boy, you never know which version you're going to get. You could get the outstanding version that we saw against United. You could get the version against Real Madrid. But luckily, Nabka is going up. Man's gleaming. The stuff's going to the sky. It's like Elon Musk just tweeted Nabka.
But you know, the reason I came to you because I have to respect it. Let's be honest. We're going to get to him sooner. And of course, I'm going to give you a time to shine when it comes to the Keita goal. But he is finally putting, and I could admit, as someone that's been on his case about getting fit and playing games, he is stamping his authority on this midfield, and I have to respect it. And Nabcoin is definitely gone up.
All right. Before we celebrate, it couldn't get any lower. Before we keep saying Nabcoin's going up, you can't get lower than 0.00.
Hey, penny stocks are flipping, baby. Don't kill the vibes, man.
It's because I got my personal bet with Marco in it. That's why.
Oh yeah.
Scores.
You generally talk about the bet. Playing
that bet. Oh no, I needed an up score or something.
When you came, he was thinking, maybe we can get a bit more, fam. My cop told him, nah, bro, you're not on to score, fam. Let's keep it easy, bro. But as I said, Peter. One of the big things about the new lineup when it was released is that Mane didn't start. And I personally felt like Jota, you know, is of course, I believe, a more clinical finisher than Mane. What do you think Klopp's thinking behind starting Jota over Mane was?
I think his thinking was, if you go back to the game against United away last season, obviously Jota had a really good game. His pressing was really good. He scored against them, and I think they had struggled picking him up. So obviously, I think Klopp was thinking that he could replicate the sort of performance they'd done against them last season in the same fixture. But if you want my opinion, I was like Marco as well. I think I was a bit worried by the lineup. Where my worry came was that Henderson covering the large spaces. So in terms of them hitting us on the counter, would Henderson be able to just stop the counter attack and stuff like that? But yeah, I think that result has proved that, like, we just need to. Well, I need to personally just have faith in this team because, yeah, it's a special, special team. So, like, when people come in and stuff like that, I think we have such a good structure that it doesn't matter, like, who comes in. You know what I'm saying? So that's what the structure is there for. You know what I'm saying? People know their roles. People know the structure, and yeah, that's really
matter. Yeah, man. To be honest, there was a lot of panic when that lineup got released. Mush, I'm going to come to you. That midfield, a lot of people look scared of it. To be honest, I had a lot more faith in everyone else. I stayed quiet, but I didn't feel like that. You know, we at the moment, the way we're playing, we are so good. Even with that midfield, I don't see it as too much of an issue. And especially against a team like Man United, who have absolutely no midfield, as that game showed, Was you worried at all when you saw Milner, Henderson and Keita started?
Worried more in the sense that I think two of them have been playing a lot, especially Milner. So I think it was more of a workload issue that I was probably a bit more concerned by. I think actually it's related to the midfield, because what I was more concerned by was how the ball was going to get to them. And this is where I want to put a big shout out to Klopp for how he chose to insert Konate into the team. Because I think a big thing was us losing Joel Matip was more about how we lost him on the ball and what we were losing in terms of passing into midfield. And I think because Klopp has obviously seen how terrible United have been the past few weeks and how they don't have an organised press, you actually give Konate the chance to get on the ball and play against a team who probably won't plan a press very well. So the ball came into midfield like really smoothly. So Konate will probably actually come up against better pressing teams lower down the table, but now he's got a taste for being on the ball for Liverpool as well. So I think the midfield were helped by a poor Man United press, but also a very confident backline that made the transition very smooth.
Did you say better pressing teams lower down the table?
They're really bad. They're really bad at pressing, man. That brings me to you, Krish, my brother in the mint coat. You know, with a mint coat like that, you must have had a lot of confidence going into this game. And, you know, your stocks must have just came in very nicely. United are shit, man. Like, me and you know that. So how was you feeling when you saw that lineup? Our person wasn't bothered.
First of all, I want to give a big shout out to Raul. We love you too, man. Cop and Hive. We see you. We see you here in the YouTube live. Thank you for joining us. Yeah, man. I think it's become a custom thing, hasn't it, recently? For any Liverpool lineup to come out, we all kind of have a little bit of a collective meltdown. Especially when it was the same midfield three that was a little bit that was struggling in key areas against Atletico Madrid earlier on in the week. But I kept saying it. I said it in a few different groups as well. With the lineup we've put out, we should be beating these guys, man. We should be going in for blood. We should be winning with a team on form. Doesn't matter who we're up against. Because the thing with this Liverpool team is, and I think a lot of people have now started to realise, that this is a Liverpool team on a mission. They know what they know what the goals are. They know what the journey is. They've been on this journey before. They stumbled on that journey last season. And they are very much determined to get back to the summit of the mountain this season. But yeah, I mean, the big one for me obviously was, as we discussed, kind of Jota and Mane. I think Mane, it's a little bit unfair on Mane dropping him with the good form he's been in. But Jota, man, he was fantastic. But it also helps when you're going up against someone in Aaron Wan-Bissaka who was, woo!
That brother
stinks! That brother stinks!
Get that
guy out of here, man. I can't believe that these men had the unmitigated goal to say at one point of time that he was better than Trent Alexander-Arnold, the star boy of all the star boys. The audacity, Julian. Oh my word!
It was a madness. It was an absolute madness that we had to literally endure arguments of comparing Trent to Aaron Wan-Bissaka. The fact that they were even in the same sentence just goes to show that people just struggled in the past to give Liverpool their dues and give anyone associated with Liverpool their dues. Like, Aaron Wan-Bissaka got absolute. The whole back line got absolutely cooked. I'm going to come to you. Just give us your quick thoughts on the lineup, man. Like, I'm sure your boy, you know, the legend, the footballer that will have his name written in football, Valhalla, James Milner, your boy James, started. I'm sure you had the most confidence in the world that, you know, he was going to pull out a classic. So tell us what you
said. Like I said earlier in the day, I was like, listen, I'll feel a lot better if I see Milner's name with the team sheet. I put a couple of texts out there to you guys. I was like, listen, I need Milner's name on that team sheet. When I saw it, I was like, yo, it's all good. It's all good. Everything's fine. In terms of Ibu starting, I thought it was smart. I completely understood why he was starting. kind of covering VVD's back if Rashford or Green would try and run in behind. Pause. And then obviously Naby starting in midfield, he had to start. To be honest, we don't exactly have much choice, and Ox was never going to start a game. So yeah, there's that. Jota starting on the left made sense to me purely because of how he played last time at Old Trafford. Unlucky on Mane, unfair on Mane because he has been better recently. But yeah, I was a bit shocked by it. I wasn't expecting that lineup, but I completely understood why the lineup was what it was. I didn't have too many complaints. I was just a bit shocked at first, like, rah, we're fully going in with quite a few personnel changes. And I was more shocked at Fabinho not starting, which we haven't mentioned yet. I think that's what rattled me because I wasn't expecting him to be injured.
Yeah, I definitely wasn't expecting that either. That was the only thing that kind of rattled me, but then I was like, United, the thing that the advantage that we had with United is that they have no midfield whatsoever. Like, we could have played, even played Box in that game, and he would have had all the time in the world to have time, space to progress with the ball, to pick out a pass, to just even disrupt play. Because that United midfield is an absolute disgrace. Like, it was pants. And we took advantage of that because with our midfield basically not even having to do much, but had a good game where they were effective to get on the to help with the scoreline. So speaking of midfield that help with the scoreline, Marco, your brother Naby Keita, the guy you've had stocks in, opened up the scoreline with a really well worked goal from that right side again. So just just the floor is yours, my brother. Tell us how you're feeling.
I've watched that goal numerous times now, and I still don't understand why the United defence was so AWOL. Like, see, when Ronaldo was doing all of this, like, this is what that man was doing. I really don't understand why they pressed like that. It was, I believe, Green would go into Robertson, and then Aaron Wan-Bissaka a bit too slow. I don't even have words to explain Aaron Wan-Bissaka. I think
You know what, Mark? I don't even want to interrupt, but why was Wan-Bissaka trying to press as well? He didn't need to do it.
He was pressing in the right wing slot. Like, why is
him
he
and,
there?
Him and Green, and
that makes everybody shift over. Do you know how happy I am that these men have to take back every single thing they've said about Aaron Wan-Bissaka? I asked these men a question on the podcast, yesterday.
The thing is that Aaron Wan-Bissaka and Trent is that I know they didn't believe it. There's no way you can actually.
They never believed it. Deep down, they've always known
that, fam, Trent isn't. And I feel like that's with other fans as well. They know that deep down, Trent is an absolute player. Like,
Trent is clear. Trent is not.
Yeah, he's not even in those conversations with guys like in his age. Like, you can try to magnify his defensive frailties, I guess, even though this season he's been absolutely incredible at right back, and try to put that agenda on him. But everyone would take him in the heart. If you get into every single team in the world class, yeah, Wan-Bissaka, not even ever. But Mark, I'll let you carry on and talk about
your way. Just to focus on Trent for one more second, and I saw a Trent comp here today, or maybe yesterday, and I didn't even notice him through the game. Some of the stuff he was doing was mad. Like, left foot crossfield passing. Like,
Trent,
Aaron Wan-Bissaka presses, then it leaves Maguire and Shaw fumbling around at the back. Shaw's left 1-on-1 with, no, 2-on-1, maybe even 3-on-1 with Robertson on the left, who somehow run past Aaron Wan-Bissaka, who's supposed to be this defensive monster, and Naby Keita on the right, with Salah just on the ball, chilling. Of course he's going to pass to slot someone in. That he slots in my boy KR, very, very composed. I even love the fact that after the game, Salah says, you know what, I could have even went by myself, and he had a little chuckle to himself. Like, I love the fact that they're dunking on their boys like that.
But you know what was beautiful, Marco? What I really liked was just the way it went from the back. VVD to Robbo, Robbo to Jota, Jota to Bobby, Bobby to Salah, Salah to Naby. And it was beautiful. It was like two-touch passes, right? And what was great about Salah's pass for Naby is he held on to it and he waited for Shaw to twist his body towards him.
Yeah.
The moment he went that way, that's when he let off the pass, which was perfect timing because then it meant he couldn't recover.
That's what we have at the moment in a mentality monster in Salah, isn't it? Like, he's at such an elite level that all of these little things, like the fact that he releases the ball at the right time, is on key. Like, he's perfected his game so much that we've seen what he's done with the whole Ben Foster issue, where he asked Ben Foster, where would you have went if I took a penalty? Like, where would you have dived to? Like, Salah at this moment in time is such a monster in his mentality and what he's doing and the way he's trying to prepare himself for games, even before he gets into a game, that I think he's going to carry us to a title.
No, definitely, man. Like, he's the best player in the world right now, man. Like, I went onto the main pod and these guys tried to laugh me out of the room, you know, mentioning Arse players like Lewandowski.
Speak on it.
And Neymar, who's, you know, he's just not cut out for the grind for a Champions League. But he's the best in the world, man. But we'll get onto Salah soon because we have a second goal to talk about. We've got so many goals to talk about. Like, I can't even get everyone's individual reactions on them. That's how much we slapped United. Jota's goal, a lovely cross played in by Trent, picked him out easily. It was just so easy to carve through this team. Like, Peter, what was your reaction to that goal, and just give us your quick analysis of it?
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Funny thing with that goal is that I actually thought the chance had went. So when I think it gets to kind of like Cater, I missed that a couple of moves here. But when it gets to Cater, he kind of like he passes it like he kind of, I don't know if he has like a bad touch or whatever. And I think
it was a back hill, you know, like a fake back hill, and he didn't get off properly.
Yeah. So United are so well. It should give the team enough time to prepare and get back into shape properly. You know what I'm saying? But United are so bad that even when he takes a bad touch, he kind of plays it behind Trent and they still can't get into shape. And obviously, you give someone like that. How is Trent by himself? Like it's literally schoolboy defending. Like, even like the next couple of goals as well. But you give someone like Trent that much time and space. Like, honestly, I can't believe it. Then he finishes it across the box. Like, and obviously, Jota's there to finish it. If Jota wasn't there, Milner was there to finish it as well. You know what I'm saying? So it's just.
I needed that, man. I needed that. I was waiting.
Maguire and Shaw ran into each other as well, innit?
Yo, we need to talk. Mush. Peter and Mush, talk to me about Maguire and Shaw and what was going on there.
Like, both of them, like, I'll go first. Like, what are you doing? Like, this is not even like me and Mush, like, and Marco play for a team. Like, we wouldn't even do that. Like, honestly, like, we play for a lower level. Like, we wouldn't do, like, you speak the same language, communicate. All you have to say is, you know what I'm saying, man on, or, you know what I'm saying,
not even that. Whoever shouts for the ball kicks it. It's as simple as that.
Literally, but, like, they just run into each other. And these are the guys that people are telling me that they're world class. Shaw's apparently better than Robertson last season. Like, bro,
eight
like,
good come months. On, like, these men had 8 good months and a good Euros. And then suddenly, man, were telling us that. You know, Shaw got a little Cafu cosign. Like, we didn't see John Flanagan get one of those. And then now, you're not now.
After that goal, you got to throw in the white flag. That's just embarrassing. But yeah, I'll give it to Mush.
No, I think we covered that goal, man. Don't worry about it. I can't wait to talk. I'd love to talk about the next goal, to be honest, because I want to celebrate my brother, Christian's boy, Bobby Firmino.
Yes, so good.
Brilliant. By the way, brilliant game.
That goal was the beautiful game that Liverpool can play in full swing right there. From the way we passed it near the channel where Trent was, the way we came inside, the lovely little back heel for the 1-2, slotting it into Jota laying it for the shot. Now, Salah, I mean, the most amazing moment was the Usain Bolt level acceleration. The moment Salah hit it, like Marco was saying about Salah's brain working at a much quicker level than anyone in world football right now. The moment Salah hit the shot, Salah had already worked out the ball is not going to go out of play. The ball is going to end up on the right wing. he knew where the space was in the 6 yard box to get to. He processed all of that with honestly in honestly about 0.2 seconds.
Honestly, and the thing is, most strikers, they just stop once a shot gets blocked, they stop. But yeah, like, honestly, that point, you gotta like say that point again, because he's at a top level where even when his shot gets blocked, he's still on the move, still on the move.
His reaction,
well, it's not even that, Pete. Like, I think when a player's playing well, or when they're playing badly, they're relieved to get shot off. When you're playing well, you're frustrated, you don't score. When you're playing at a crazy level like Mo Salah's playing at the moment, unless it's a goal, you're not happy.
Facts.
So Mo's only barometer of success now is, am I winning the game for Liverpool Football Club? So the moment the
say shot, that again, bro. Say that again.
Seriously,
bro.
That is the barometer. Mo's barometer is, am I deciding this game? If you give me the ball, I'm going to decide this game. There's nothing else to it. So for me, the main thing was Mo hit it and he just thought straight away, forget me putting up my stats about the number of shots. I need to get a goal. Otherwise, people aren't going to remember me. Mo's ego is the best thing about him, man. That's what I love about him. So, yeah, full credit to how we built that move. It was so weird because the build-up was such a team build-up, but the goal itself was such an individual goal at the same time. So, yeah, it was the best of everything we have in this squad, man. Just got to love it.
Just to emphasize Rush's point, yeah, I know we've all seen Mo Salah's post, yeah, but when I saw it posted, I was thinking, raw, that caption is crazy. How can Mo say, yeah, with this team, winning should always be the only option? I looked at that and I was like, yeah, CLPL this year. Like, we're winning something this year.
We're leaving here with something.
We might leave him with the whole bag.
I was gonna piggyback off of what Mush said about Salah and his mind and the way his mind works so fast. Like, I just love, you can even see it with those individual goals when he dribbles, how like he anticipates body movement, how he anticipates his next move, how he anticipates when is the right time to shoot, when is the right time to feint, when is the right time to make the runs. He is playing at such an elite level. Like, it's crazy how he is almost playing at a level above this team, which is already the best in the world. And I'm just, and his comments about wanting to stay and about wanting to end and wanting to never play against Liverpool and wanting to end his career here just goes to show with performances like that how much it honestly means to him. And Mush was talking about his first goal. He got three in the whole Ross Clark thing, fam. But before even half time, you made it four. So I'm gonna come to you, Chris. Man, that second goal. Talk us through it. Give the listeners a picture, just 9 cents.
They couldn't contain him. Like the boogeyman in the old Powerpuff Girls episode, he could not be contained. That guy could not be contained, man. He was more fly than I am today. You, the fire, yeah, man. Cartoon Network. Me, you, and Mush now. Cartoon Network back in
go,
the day.
Go Powerpuff cartoon, Girls, man. Do not insult the
Powerpuff. I know it's about Powerpuff. Mojo Jojo. Respect the thing. Mojo Jojo and them, man, there.
Yeah, man. Got to put respect on Mojo Jojo's name.
A quick reference to Powerpuff Girls. That is literally what the right side done to United. Powerpuff Girls used to fist up Mojo Jojo when they used to
pull up on that man for literally no reason and thump him. That was Konate to Fred. My word. We haven't talked about that yet, have we?
We'll get to that. We'll get to the hotheads and how you know this result had them seen. But yeah, fam. Mojo Jojo fist up on that right side. It was crazy, bro. But I'll let you get to it.
Yeah, I mean, what more can you say about Mo that has been said? I mean, the mentality stuff is the funny thing is, this guy is the most determined, the most ferocious person. And the thing about him is he will kill you with a smile on his face. He will smile whilst he does it, which is the best thing about him. And I don't know if you guys saw from earlier on the friend of the pod, friend of Touchline, Ben Foster, talked about Mo. And asked him some advice about penalties. And then there was a little bit of a piece by Neil Jones from goal.com talking about how he's kind of learned all these different things, you know, about his diet, you know, his exercise, you know, positionally. He wants to know all these little meticulous details that he can absorb and add to his game to be the best. to continue being the best in world football, which he is at the moment, man. There's no denying it. There is no denying it. There's no shutting down the arguments and saying, you know, man like Neymar. I ain't trying to hear about no damn Neymar.
Bro.
Neymar?
You know what? Yeah, I think that's what separates Mo from the Neymars and Hazards. Them wanting to get them incremental gains, isn't it? Wanting to
nine goals in the Uber Eats, Neymar? Is that the same Neymar we're talking about?
Crazy.
The guy that got nine goals.
Nine goals in Uber Eats. If we're doing if we're doing equivalency, equal exchanges, what is nine goals in Uber Eats in the Premier League? Two goals, maybe?
That's
really
levels.
I saw Pepe had two goals. Yeah, man, you got them rupee
to pound conversions, right?
Brother, with those goals back home in the Punjab, I could build a palace to live in this nice coat. I could be living in luxury. But
if I just read Mo Salah's stat line, it's crazy. 10 goals, yeah, and 5 assists in 9 games. 9 games. That is
nuts. He's got 15 in all comps in 10 games.
Fam, like,
Mo is 15 in 10.
Yeah.
I do want to say, though, about what
you're saying. Yeah, check it out.
When you deep it, yeah, it's so crazy.
15 goals in 10 games.
15 goals in 10 games is nuts. If he keeps
if Salah puts up a 50 season, just know this hairstyle is going to be looking different from next season. Because
if he puts up 50, man,
if he puts up,
15 and 12. I know he's got 15.
Okay, so that's still nuts.
Yeah, 15 and 12. Sorry,
that's still nuts, fam. But yeah, then we went into half time, bro. 4-0 at half
Julian, time. Julian, I did want to say, because we did, I don't think we complimented enough. I think we all kind of share this view, a lot of us across the pod, that Jota is an amazing like goal threat, but sometimes he can be a bit slack in build up. The ability to spot and clip that pass into Firmino nice and early straight onto his chest was the main reason why that goal happened, really. Obviously, Bobby was on fire, so the ball stuck like glue. But I don't think Jota regularly plays that pass as accurately and perfectly. So, yeah, he was just as equally effective in that front three, man. So, shout out Jota for being a build-up man as well.
You know, funny enough, PTSD, when he started to play that pass, I thought, what the fuck are you doing? And then it ends up being what it is.
It's so crazy because maybe in another game that pass could have been a lot more difficult because United's pressing is just so poor. So even if that pass looked a bit fugazi, in this game especially where United are so poor at pressing, Firmino has all the time in the world to adjust his body, to not panic, to basically just have a jolly up. And yeah, man, United made that 4-0 at halftime. United made it so, so easy for us. At that point, It could have been what I loved about that result the most, and we'll go into it a bit more when I ask the question that I want to ask you guys, is we was able to control what the scoreline was going to be in that game. If we said we was going to get 6, we could have got 6. If we said we was going to get 8, we could have got 8, maybe even 10. And the fact that, you know, there was, you know, no red cards in that game was absolutely nuts, considering... to Pogba, not only to Pogba. Oh, yeah, sorry. There wasn't more, red cards in the game. With Ronaldo kicking Jones in the chest, getting him with his head steaming. Absolutely catching. Who was that? Bruno and Salah?
Bruno and Salah, when he hacked him down.
Yeah, man. Like, Bruno
Curtis as well. There was Maguire, last man.
Apparently, that's why. I'm going to come to you, Fahy. Klopp said, you know what, boys, at 1-0, just wrap it up. One more goal and just wrap it up. The United players were getting kettled. They looked like they was about to hurt our players if we went even more. Do you think that was behind Klopp's thinking when he told Salah, yeah, after that one goal you scored, just wrap it up?
Just couldn't intervene. They couldn't even injure our players properly because apparently Naby did the... but he was dancing at full time, apparently in the dressing room.
Fine, man. He just wanted some time out.
Yeah, man.
You know what? It's fine.
I done my thing still, man. Oi, let, get me off, man. That's not my thing. That's he's definitely saying, I done my thing, man. Hey, I got my goal.
I love football. I ain't going for this shit.
But what were we asking? Are we talking about the fifth goal, yeah?
Yeah, the fifth goal, and like, do you think that was Klopp's thinking in like telling him to
stop? I think apparently, I don't know how true this is. Quite a few people are saying it's like a German thing where if you're absolutely battering a team, you kind of like calm down after a while and you just, you, out of respect, you just allow them. But in my head, I'm thinking, you know what? He doesn't want to batter them because he doesn't want Ollie to get sacked. Number one, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, you know what?
He's playing the long game, the long and smart game.
If you make it more than five, then yeah, this bloke has to go. But five, to be honest, at five he should be going anyway. But yeah, if he would have got to 6, 7, 8, which we could have easily done if we wanted to, then yeah, that bloke would have been gone before fucking full time. So I was just thinking maybe he wanted to keep on in the job. I think, Julian, you make a good point about the injuries and potentially United players lashing out because, yeah, as we saw, even at 5-0, they were lashing out. They were making dangerous tackles. They were just doing stupid things. So, yeah, I never thought about it like that, but it's a fair point.
Yeah, man. And speaking of lashing out and tackles, Paul Pogba, Hall of Shame cameo. We've also had one on our end. You know, we've also been on the receiving end of one of our greatest players.
Shall we touch on the fifth goal first before we talk about that joke of a midfielder?
Okay, yeah, go on. Yeah, touch on the fifth goal.
I know, like, there's so many goals to discuss. It's like, you know what? After a while,
you get kind of lost.
Where did we begin?
Let's start with our pressing to get the ball back.
It to Pogba, and Pogba obviously has to turn his body, and it's just impossible for him to do. So what we do, which is brilliant, Bobby. Who and Bobby did it? Was it Hendo?
Bobby and Hendo. Clattered
him, but clattered him in such a way they suffocated him.
They squeezed the space.
They literally just gripped him like this, and they just nabbed that ball off him. And it was so beautifully done. They rushed him, and it reminded me of, remember in 2013, 2014, when Arsenal came to Anfield and Hendo rushed Ozil.
I think
it was for the third or fourth goal. He completely just fucking took him out nicely. It reminded me of that, and it was so beautifully done. And then you could see Salah's making that run. And then I don't know what Hendo was thinking. Yeah, Hendo was like, you know what? I'm going to show out. I'm going to stab it outside of the foot.
Man was reading the tweets from his burner, innit? Like, oh, okay, bruv. Don't try ambitious balls. Bruv. Yeah, oh, okay.
So you know what I'm going to show you, bastards. You don't want me crossing, yeah? You don't want me to do that stab cross. How about this stab outside of the foot pass? Let me do that. Let me leng it. And he did it. And it reached Salah so perfectly. And then I was like, you know what? Salah's overrun it.
He
went for it and he just toe poked it in. And it was a beautiful, beautiful goal. The pressing was perfect. The pass was exquisite. And the finish was just the most nicest way to score a hat trick, and Salah obviously then celebrates right in front of the Liverpool fans. We make it 5. You then see the United fans getting the white handkerchiefs out, and then you see Fergie like, and then you see Kenny, and he's like, vibes it up.
That's how nasty that United fan base is, by the way. They didn't even have the white handkerchiefs. They had those green and gold scarves, man, because it's back to being green and gold, isn't it? It's all rosy when you're bringing in, you know, the 80 million, the 007, no time to start, Jadon Sancho. When you've got Varane, the Champions League winner, the big man who's going to come in and show things up. And then you bring in...
I was going to say Conference League Varane.
And then you bring in... a guy. I'm not going to speak too much on this guy.
We're not
too much.
But CR,
I'll be in big trouble. But
you listen.
You're already in big trouble.
Yeah.
Hey, through a hissy fit when Curtis Jones out-muscled him on
the
floor.
I'm dunking on your guy, mate.
We're dunking on this guy. We're dunking on this guy. You think he could just turn up and it would be okay? That, you know,
well, who's that? Who's my guy? I'm so confused.
Cristiano Robert. You don't know who?
Oh, Cristiano Kelly, fam.
Hey, that's collateral damage. I was trying to talk about Paul Pogba, but hey.
Now listen. All right, you know what?
I don't want to talk about him because we might get banned from the airwaves. You know how protected that guy is on this machine, bruv.
He's the only guy that can be at all the energy in me to not do that Vince McMahon video.
He's the only guy that can be at fault for a goal and a red card. And back. Oh no! Yeah, what a hero! He got sent off.
Bro, this is will lock off. This is the directors will lock off the pod, man. They'll lock it off. This ain't going out. You can't talk about Pogba.
Nah. Hey, I don't want this pod to get locked off. So let me stop.
I'm some madness, and I was laughing, fam.
But you know what? All right, let's discuss Pogba. So obviously, 20 minutes, a 20-minute disaster class.
Man came in like some attitude era jobber.
Look at the way they got Fahy talking on him. It's like he can't even say, like, bro, what is this, bro?
It's because
Peter, I've got a family to feed, man. I've got a family to feed.
we'll try to be as amicable as we can, yeah, because it's kind of mad because this cameo was a hall of shame, but the fact that that red card wasn't the worst thing about the result in a United versus is an absolute madness. Like, the fact that, like, fam, I even agree with him. Fam, you bring him on, 4-0, you bring him on 4-0 down, and what do you expect him to do?
Junior.
I'm getting out of there, man.
The Pogba sexuals are telling me their guy came on at 4-0. Yeah, they conceded one further goal. They're telling me United played better because they only conceded one goal whilst Pogba was on the pitch.
We chilled.
They told me there's no difference between 4-0 or 5-0. They told me there's no difference. They told me there's no difference between 10 men and 11 men, and they said Pogba, listen to this one. They said Pogba knew if he got sent off, Liverpool would take their foot off the gas.
Yeah, these are moving, man. They were talking nonsense. Absolute whack.
I've never seen a man so overprotective.
We went back to like Liverpool here in Brendan Rodgers' days of just passing in the back towards the latter end of Brendan Rodgers, passing in the back, just chilling with the ball. Chilling. Like, we don't need to do that against 10 men. We don't need to.
My opinion is that, okay, he got put on an unfavorable circumstances. Like, right, you put him on, you disrespected him by not starting him, and you brought him on when it's 4-0. What do you expect him to do? But he got sent off. It's not a good thing. At the end of the day, he done was not
Peter,
a good
thing. Peter,
there's no Cavani, way you can justify. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. So I'm saying that what he done is not a good thing. It's a shit circumstance.
You can't justify it. You can't justify it.
You can't justify it. You know what I'm saying? He got sent off. I don't want to hear, oh no, but he's trying to get this man, or he's trying to get Oli out, or no, it's a bad thing.
Nah, it's nonsense, because now he's not playing for three games. Exactly. He's not playing for three games. He potentially injured an opponent in a really bad, that could have been a really nasty injury.
It was a really bad tackle, man. Really bad.
If that was Naby's standing leg, that could have been a seriously bad injury. So if we're going with the agenda of, he meant to get sent off, that's a fucking stupid thing to do, because he literally could have snapped his ankle, he could have snapped his calf.
No, but the funny bit is this narrative of Pogba came on and intentionally paid badly.
It's just dumb. It's not but United, listen, United fans are so down. For the past 8 years, they've been talking wham. Like, literally, they do not understand how stupid they are. United fans are some of the dumbest fans I've genuinely ever heard speak football. They are so thick. And honestly, 90% of you United fans, I mean it. You lot are so thick. It's unbelievable. Some of the shit you man talk is actually... You know what? Just thinking about this Pogba nonsense, it's actually true. They're so stupid that they are the most basic fan base when it comes to football
that Fergie fighted them a few cups. And yeah, that guy was a brilliant manager. But since Fergie, they've been fuck all. They've bought every player under the sun with X amount of money. They've got no excuses to be where they are. But you know what it is? They're just shit. The club is done. They're a massive club. They'll sell shirts. They'll get the Sings to come in, sit front row every single week and buy the season tickets. They'll get X amount of people. But they're not going to win anything. They're not going to win a Prem for another 5 years. They're not going to win the Champions League this season like some of them think. They're washed. They're a washed club. They're a washed family.
They were screaming 21-21 and look what happened.
They're washed. They are genuinely.
They have turned into the Liverpool fans that they once mocked.
You know when it comes to football? You don't know how much I hate Arsenal, yeah? I respect Arsenal fans and their footballing opinion more than United fans. United fans are some of the stupidest fans on earth. And they also, oh, we stopped watching football. We're going to watch NFL. We're going to watch NBA. They come and go. They come and go. And if the shoe fits, I'm talking about you. If the shoe fits, I am talking about you. There's so many of you. I'm not individually naming anyone because there's fucking thousands of you that do it. You just go in and go out. Ronaldo came, Varane came, Sancho came. You lot decided to come back. You lot thought the good times were here. You lot thought you finished second. And you know what? Now Ronaldo's here. He's going to back some goals. Sancho's going to create. Varane's going to shore up that defence. The good times are here. Pep doesn't have a striker. Liverpool haven't signed anyone. Yeah, we're going to be challenging. And now reality's hit. You lot have seen that. You lot are shit. You know, absolute, the most washed fan base on earth. The only United fan I actually have any respect for, because he is honest, is Mario. Mario is the most honest fan, like United fan on Touchline Media. The rest of you lot, Timmy included, because you're my boy, but you talk wham. You all talk wham.
Play it.
Yeah, run that. Some of the shit they've said over the years. Some of the shit we have to listen to them say. Damian's the best right back in the league. Januzaj is better than Sterling and Gnabry.
Rashford over Mbappe.
Some of the shit, like, it's so laughable. Like, it's like you're making it up when you actually think about it and rehash it out.
You want me to keep going? Because Martial Ballon d'Or clause. You want me to
Martial? Bro, these lot thought Martial was like the net because he fucking spun Lovren. Lovren and Skrtel. Because he spun them, they thought he was going to be the next big thing. David De Gea, best keeper in the league, apparently. Bro, it's never ending. Fucking hell, Pogba, you know best midfielder the in
best
the
thing,
league.
The best thing about Sunday, right, Sunday evening was, and I tweeted it out, and fuck, you laughed your head off at it, seeing those rap bastards squirm, like the deluded people they are, was, you know what, that brought me more satisfaction than the win. That is why I am Silky Johnson this evening. I am the biggest hater ever. Because
the thing is, by United fan logic and what they say about players and like talent ID and all this stuff, they should have won stuff by now. Because all these players that they rate and all these players that are certain ballers.
I don't think you man understand how much I enjoyed that live pod still. See, him and Mariah was paid in 4K.
His heart ripping apart when he had to even speak. Thank you for that flogging. And I'm going to compound on it even more. I think we're all in agreement.
Before we move on, I just want to say one more thing about United fans. This is the same, and this doesn't apply to kind of anyone, obviously, in Touchline. It's for those United fans that were in the ground. This is the same people who will sing songs about poverty.
Bruv.
Bin dippers, you know.
They shall bin dippers, all of that nonsense. When their own player is in an active fight against one of the worst crises we have in this country, poverty.
That is how stupid they are, though.
Is it one mic or is it Uchiwale?
Those are the questions that need to be asked. Those are the serious questions that need to be asked. Listen, man, that away win, I think we're all in agreement to say that is the best away win in our Premier League history. 5-0 at United. And I think we can
We didn't even play that well. Like, honestly, we didn't even play that well.
And that's what made it even worse. The fact that, one, we didn't play that well, and two, the fact that it could have been more, and Klopp just said, you know what, they're not even worth it. Just
no, like, do you know what? If it ended up being more, honestly, right now, I'd have the Bahamas or something behind me. I'm telling you, if it ended up being 9-0 or something, I might football might not have anything left to give me, bro. So I'm actually happy it isn't.
You lot approved though. You in the first half, did I not send a text after the fourth goal? And I was like, you know what? We've not played well. We've been crap.
Yeah,
like, I said it.
Yeah, your exact words were, "We've not played well, but somehow I still have a stiffy."
I said that. I said it. I just say
damn
that.
Truth. Because I echo what Musha said there. If that Trent goal would have gone in, I'd have been doing the Forest or something. I would never have come home.
Oh my days. These would never.
Just to put context, what I said, like, I've seen better performances from us. Like, I think you guys will all agree, like, against Atletico, I know we lost, but in what's called in 18-19, I feel like we played better than, like, our passes, like, in that match, it wasn't as crisp. Like, we were losing the ball. It was breaking down sometimes.
Watford was a better performance from us.
Yeah, like, honestly, like, Rashford was getting a bit of joy, like, a little bit of joy. Like, we played better than that. Like, honestly, our passing, our pressing, like, it was good. But, like, we played better than that. And to still beat them 5-0, and we know and that we can play better.
One of the really impressive things about this game as well is that they had those opportunities. They had their kind of, I'm not even going to call it a big 10, but they had these moments where We were really careless with the ball in midfield. We were giving it away in dangerous positions.
Yeah, 100.
But we still able to. Alisson made two big saves as well. He rushed out.
The Bruno chance as well.
Farouk said it last week on the Ronaldo save. He just this thing where he makes himself look big, but he's got one hand that's consistently up.
Oh, yeah.
We need to speak on that guy a lot more, man, because he's criminally disrespected.
It's clear.
1v1, he's unbelievable.
Yeah, man. That result, the most embarrassing result in United's history. I'm putting it on tape now and saying that. And I'm so happy. United fans, if you're listening to this, thank you for supporting such a shit team. You know, that 5-0 was something I honestly couldn't have imagined going into this game. But somehow you made my dreams a reality. And the fact that your fans were leaving Old Trafford on the Man United versus Liverpool game in around the 60th minute, insane.
They were leaving
at half time. But yeah, they got a long train home, boy. Nah, it was insane.
Oh, you might see that Diego Dalio cameo. What the hell, Black? Man,
come
what
way.
Is he going through his head? Like, footballers like that. I just think, like, what is actually going through his head? Like, man came on. There was one thing, yeah. He tried to dribble down the line against Konate. Yeah, he tried to at muscle Konate. I was like, Dalo, what are you doing, fam? Like,
he was on absolute vibes, son.
Like, what is going on? Like, oh my god. Some of their players, like, bro.
Do you know what was jokes that we haven't discussed? It's so funny how when Mane came on, he was so desperate to score. He did not give a shit about anyone.
Anything.
Mane was like, you lot have all been eating and leaving me out.
Where is my place?
That brother came on, he was nasty.
I'm leaving with something.
He was moving like a photographer that wasn't giving food at a wedding, bruv.
You know when you've been at work all day and then your family eating takeaway.
You come back home, you're rubbing through the takeaway. Bro, you know, not even them. You know when you come home, yeah, and like you're hungry from work, and then your mum's cooked, and you're just clattering the pots, bro, just opening up everything to just try and find food. That's what Mane was on, bro. That was looking for rice.
Julian, you know when you get that meal finally, and people are trying to chat to you, everyone's trying to chat to you, like, how was your day? Come on, tell me about what you've been up to. You're like, leave me alone. I've come here for one job. Mane was killing me. Curtis Jones went nuts when he
that chance. When he didn't pass to Curtis, and the way Curtis stropped about it, and he didn't pass it back to him later.
Yeah,
fuck you.
That's when I knew we wouldn't score for the rest of the game. It was funny.
I swear I said this in the chat. I said, if Mane passes to Curtis, he goes 6-0. And then Curtis would have passed back to Mane and go 7-0. It would have been easy pickings.
At that point, it was just like, fam, if you score in it. Like, it nothing really matters at that point because we were just absolutely drumming them. I actually wanted to ask you guys this question, yeah? After that Salah performance, a hat-trick at Old Trafford, which has never been done before by any team in the Premier League.
Sorry, Julian, sorry. Just cut. Ox, I've got one thing for Ox.
Raph, he's on through every time.
What is that doing?
Hey, okay, I see all day. Who's like he's in a police chase? Man, just straight sprinting.
Listen. You know, so I think the listeners know. So me and Marco have a bet for the season that Naby. I said that Naby and Ox between them will not have 20 goals and assists combined.
No, it's 10 goals, 10 assists.
So yeah, 10 goals, 10 assists combined.
This is the wager straight from the Coppens Fracas Sportsbook and Casino. the bet between Mark and Fahi. Mark has a bet with Fahi that Ox and Naby will have a combined 10 goals and 10 assists in the league only.
Yeah. Oh my day.
But listen, now we can laugh at Marco in a second because that bet was ridiculous, but I don't have a worry in my heart when Ox comes on that he's actually going to attack.
I don't come to the news like he's playing Minecraft, bro. Like, he's not level seven at all, bro.
And I feel sorry for him because he's been dusted out, basically. Klopp is...
Yeah.
Listen, his time is done, innit? He served his purpose.
Yeah.
He served his purpose, right now.
Let me explain that bet a little bit, yeah, because, yeah, there needs to be some context, innit? I felt like we would see Ox Horse 9 this season, innit?
False nine. Listen, he thought he would see false nine based off one 30-minute training match that he saw.
Wait. It was pre-season. It was like 4 matches in a row, yeah. So he played Ox false nine, and I thought, you know what? Ox might have a little rejuvenation. He might come back fit and firing, but...
It's so funny, because Ox played so much in pre-season, he must have been gassed, thinking...
He's like, yeah, I got it, I'm back. This
role, man.
Nah, bro.
He's playing like almost every single game. I'm sure it's every single game. And he started.
Oh, bro.
Yeah, man. Ox, we need more still. He's going to be playing a League Cup game tomorrow night for sure.
You know what's funny, Julian? I can't even guarantee he's going to start that.
Yeah. Nah, he's going to start, man. Don't take the piss, man. He's going to start.
You say that. I'm not sure he would start.
I'm not entertaining you any longer.
With the injuries and stuff, he might have to be...
With the injuries, honestly, because of the injuries in midfield, he may not get risked.
Yeah, you don't want to risk it.
He may not get risked.
You guys are... Anyway, I was actually going to ask the question. After that performance against Man United, getting the hat-trick for the first time ever in United's history... of Liverpool's history as well. Mohamed Salah, in the all-time Liverpool great rankings, does that performance change where he stands? I.e., has he surpassed a certain Steven Gerrard?
Nah. Not yet.
For me personally, he's going to have to hold that number two. Unless he gets another Premier League.
He's number two.
Which he will.
He's already number two, though.
He won't get the silverware that the good players of the '80s got. You know, your Dalglishes, etc. Rush, but comfortably for me in my lifetime, he's easily the second best player, and he's very much staking a claim to be the best Liverpool player of our generation. He's just phenomenal. I mean, I think we've literally run out of words to say it.
I think the big thing is about the Salah-Gerrard comparison is that Gerrard has emotional and like longevity ties that Salah can't replicate. Do you know, even if he wants to. So I think, and at the same time, to flip that on its head, Gerrard, you can't compare what Gerrard could do in Salah's environment because Gerrard never played in a team as good as Salah's. So it's just a bit of an impossible comparison because they're the heroes of their time for what was needed. I think that's the best way I could word it. So I think it has to be a joint one. Like they were needed for two different scenarios. It's like what's more important, the doctor that saves your life or the doctor that gives you the medicines from stops you getting ill. They're both equally important. Do you get what I mean? And that's what they are.
Yeah, I hear
you.
That's a great analogy, still.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. Oh man,
I will say though, if Mohamed Salah asked me to bottle Michael Owen, I'd do it. And you know, I'm going to
do Michael Owen. You do that for free. If Emu Heskey asks you to do it, you do it. Whole time, Emu Heskey, by the way.
Shout out Emu Heskey, man.
Shout out Emu, fam. But yeah, man, I can't lie, man. I'm surprised at how quickly we got through that drumming. This was 1 hour of straight pammings from Man United. What also wanted to ask you guys, you know, because we can fit up some time. We've got some time here.
We've not talked about man getting gripped up, you know.
Oh, you guys still want to keep analysing? Like, is there more to say?
Fred got flung one hand.
How can you, as a man that is 5'2", decide you are going to raise your arm at a bloke that's 6'4"?
Bro, Panathi came over and towered over him, man. Just decked, man. Straight.
He looked at him like, what are you doing? That is.
Man flung you and is laughing at the same time. Like, one hand. Just dragging you like when your dad's taking you to get beats.
Bro.
Pulling you one hand.
Yaya Toure versus Lallana vibes that gave me, bro.
Bro, yeah.
It was peak, bro. Like, Ronaldo's head was cooked. Oli just looked... After the game, the fans singing Ollie at the wheel. After the game, Ollie looked. That is a man that knows that.
Hey, we forgot. Ronaldo scored you, man, no?
Yeah, disallowed
him. I swear Ronaldo scored.
Nah, disallowed, bro. The best score that he scored at United is disallowed.
The best
goal
he's ever scored this season, you know, but disallowed.
Bro, man, cutting. Hit the side netting and then disallowed, bruv. You know when that got disallowed, I was just thinking, boy.
I didn't even care that he scored. That's how mad it was. I didn't care that he scored. I was even like, laughing about it. And then when it got disallowed, it was even funnier. Like, they got absolutely touched on Sunday. Ollie looks finished, bruv. That's a man. You know the JD Kids video where the FBI are closing in on him and he just knows that, like, yeah, like, it's over, fam. Like, Ollie... I hope they stick with you, lad. Like, you've done a great job so far. You need the time, in my opinion. And I feel Klopp only gave you a 5-piece to, you know, stamp his authority, but not beat you too much. You know when your parents do that, just give you a beating, but they don't really want to give you marks to go into school with tomorrow and your teachers start asking you what happened to you and them things there, fam. That's what happened this weekend. And Ollie, yeah, fam, like, it's peak. But, man, boys... I can't lie, I think we're going to have to call it a day. You know, this wasn't as long as Muga. Muga was like a full 90 minutes because, you know, they're in pain. They have a lot to discuss. But if you stuck with us, I just want to quickly promote our Patreon. Listen, there's more quality content like this on our Patreon. We've got PR himself with Mike on the Bantic show. We've got more content, more post games, more pre-matches, more everything, fam. This week we have Harold and Mike. Who are going to go to the game and they're going to give us their quality post-match content. So please sign up to our Patreon. £3 a month, fam. Like, a Tesco Mildo doesn't even slap that. And you can sign up for this great content and get also automatic sign-ups into our competitions as well for £3 a month.
That competition looks sick, man. Yeah.
Especially because United 5-0 in it.
That kit's a classic now, man.
So, yeah. So, on Twitter, if you want to win the away kit, all you got to do is follow the account, retweet the tweet. It's been pinned on our account. And then tag one friend. Win against announced on the 31st of October. And then if you want a second opportunity to win that kit, all you got to do is go on Instagram, @copenfracker, like the picture, tag one person and follow the account again. For doubling your chances.
You're getting off to a fantastic kit.
More gifts. More gifts.
Donation.
Well,
donations. That's what we do. That's what we do because we're here to give you guys the best content. Of course, you know, hashtag touchline fracas at us at Coppin Fracas. If you agree, disagree, want to throw a crowd, want to draw a man out. I love the interaction from the last pod. Great work from, you know, the streets were talking and so far. And Farouk give our boy Anik a great pamming. Yeah, man, boys, this was a great night. We was able to wrap this up in about an hour and seven. Thank you for joining me tonight. Krish, Rocky Johnson, the biggest hater. I love the shades. I love the mink. Fahi, always a pleasure. Peter, always a pleasure. Marco, Nabcoin's going up. Let's keep it up. And yeah, man, that is us. Thank you for joining us and up the Reds.
Salah, break for Naby Keita. Salah, he keeps on going. Liverpool keep on scoring, and Mo Salah is the man again. He scores for a 10th appearance in a row. 10 out of 10 for the Egyptian king. Jota, Salah, it is. Absolute mayhem for Manchester United, and Liverpool are cashing in on every chance.
As I said, the minute they play a proper team, this is what's going to happen. Half decent teams are conceding and scoring goals against them. Proper teams will battle them.
Sports Social Podcast Network.